Today, it seems, is Priesthood Sunday or something along those lines. I didn't quite pay enough attention to what the exact phrasing was, but it's an opportunity to consider vocations to the priesthood and such. Father Hahn has written some very good words about this in the bulletin that you might take a look at. And this Tuesday, our 2 hours of adoration that we are offering from 6 to 8 p.m. here in the church are being offered for the intention of vocations to the priesthood. So I encourage you to drop in, even if it's only for a few minutes, from that time, 6 to 8, and give some prayer for that intention of vocations. And the benediction will be at 8 o'clock Tuesday night. I've mentioned it before in homilies, and maybe you noticed it again. What do we hear? We hear the word hear. Again and again, Scripture tells us to hear the words of God. And this time around, we hear it in precisely the phrase that is a cornerstone of Jewish life even to this day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And there's a little more to it there, but that's the point again. What is the dynamic of faith? As St. Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and there must be preachers for that hearing. But from hearing the word of God, and from hearing and understanding that God is one, and he made all things, and we belong to him, from that understanding, we suddenly realize the imperative of loving him totally. And so this hearing that Scripture calls us to is not some simple in one ear, out the other sort of hearing. It's not even simply the act of listening, paying attention to the words that are given to us by God. Rather, when Scripture says, hear, what is meant is taking in the words that God gives to us and associating them with the various parts of our lives, our experiences day to day, our thoughts and our feelings, of taking the word that we hear and attaching everything that we are to it, making comparisons from time to time, making adjustments, truly taking the word within us. That's no simple task. It's actually a lifelong struggle. But it's that kind of hearing that causes the imperative of loving God totally, and as a result of that, loving one another for God's sake. It is that kind of hearing that we are called to. Please God that we can do it. More on this later. The reading from the letter of the Hebrews raises an important question in religious history, as it were. Because an essential element of all human religion is the idea of sacrifice. We have deep within us this realization that there's some sort of gap between human beings and God above, and that somehow that gap needs to be bridged. And different religions have different ideas about how this must be done. The remarkable idea of Christianity is that God is the one who does the acting in this whole process rather than man. In the Christian vision, when man offers sacrifice, it is wholly thanks to God's goodness, he who has the strength to reach down and touch us. But this idea of sacrifice, how exactly it worked in Christianity, was not immediately apparent. Because Jesus went about teaching many things about the moral life, about how to be united to him, about how to receive true life, and also about how he would die for our sins. And so the early Christians knew very well that Jesus was the sacrifice offered for our sins, and that he was sufficient for all of our needs to make us righteous and to unite us with God. So they knew that he was a sacrifice. And they also knew that the sacrament of the Eucharist was a making real of the fact that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins. Because Jesus used unmistakable sacrificial terminology when he gave his body and blood at the Last Supper to his disciples. And that surely would have struck them when they saw him being crucified. Well, I suppose only John saw him being crucified. But it is precisely John who relates to us that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was being sacrificed at the same time as the lambs in the temple at Passover. So we know that Jesus is the sacrifice. But the question is, if there's a sacrifice, there must be someone who offers the sacrifice. And so it wasn't long before the church realized that Jesus was also this priest who offers himself as a sacrifice to the Father for all of us. But this was an unusual conclusion to come to, because Jesus was not a priest in any of the usual terms that you would have thought of in the Old Testament, where you had priests who their children were priests and so on, who were ordained but were priests because of their blood. And they offered sacrifice, animal sacrifices, incense sacrifices, grain and oil sacrifices every day in the temple. And that was not something that we saw Jesus doing. And so the church had to learn to reconcile those two ideas. The conclusion was that Jesus offered one sacrifice by entering into heaven, by bringing his perfect humanity joined with his divinity, and offering it as a sacrifice for us. But we who are Christians, we who are united to Christ by baptism, are not separate from Christ. Rather, we are joined to Jesus Christ as members of his body. And if Jesus offered himself in sacrifice to his Father, then he offers us too. And we must also offer ourselves with him so that we become more and more a part of him. But to this, we run into the same problem that we run into with hearing. How do we make it connect to the various parts of our lives? How do we understand this, make it something real for us? It was for this purpose that our Lord left us the sacrament of his body and blood, and left us individual priests, not priests in their own right, but priests because they are united to Jesus Christ to offer that sacrifice. And so what we see in the Mass is in the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, in the Eucharist, we have an image of Jesus who is the sacrifice offered. And in the sacrament of Holy Orders, we have an image, a sacrament of Jesus who is the priest who offers that sacrifice. And when we come to Mass, we see the two united. This repetition, not a repetition of a different sacrifice, but rather of the same single sacrifice, gives us the opportunity to make the connection between what Jesus did for us by dying and ascending into heaven to all the individual little sacrifices that we make in our daily lives. And it is at this altar that we are called to make that connection, to offer ourselves and all of our concerns for our own good and for the good of the entire world. That is the engine by which Jesus transforms us into himself so that we may all be united and rejoice in the heavenly kingdom with all the saints. And so the question might be raised, what helps to produce vocations to the priesthood so that this engine of sanctification can be well oiled and fruitful? And the interesting thing about it is that the culture that produces good priests is a culture in which the entire Christian community is living that life of sacrifice, in which every single one of us is living not for ourselves, but for others, offering ourselves with Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. When we are a community that lives that experience, united to Jesus Christ, then it is that young men receive the good example and are actually inspired to live that life in a particular way to make present for the people of God the sacrament which we will partake of. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.